Afternoons are sort of sleepy, so I've given you something to look at. Maybe it'll awaken you. I'm going to be the reader. But sometimes when something is read to us in a sleepy time, you can't grasp it. So that's why I copied it. And you can read along with it, with us, and I want you to, if you want to, take it home with you, because there's a wealth of little words in here that I think is good for us. And it's something that I just read this week that really ministered to me. You never get to the end of the words of our Lord. They pass into proverbs, into laws, into doctrines, into consolations. The words pass into hymns and into poems, but they never pass away. And after all the use that is made of them, they are still fresh and inexhaustible as ever. I hope that just speaks to you. One writer once described the Word of God as the book that contains the mind of God, the state of man, the way of salvation, the doom of sinners, and the happiness of believers. Its doctrines are holy, its precepts are binding, its histories are true, and its decisions are immutable. Read it to be wise, believe it to be safe, and practice it to be holy. And I've underlined some of those words to be key words, not necessarily of what we're going to speak on, but to speak to us. Read, believe, and practice. Those are three words. It contains light to direct you, food to support you, comfort to cheer you. This is all about the Word of God. It is the traveler's map, the pilgrim's staff, the soldier's sword. Here, heaven is opened and the gates of hell disclosed. Christ is its grand object and the glory of God its end. It should fill the memory, rule the heart, and guide the feet. Read it slowly, frequently, and prayerfully. There may have been a little bit more to this article, but for the sake of time, that's all that I chose. I'm going to count a few more key words. Rule the heart. Guide the feet, and fill the memory. So, as we proceed today, here's a scripture that says for us to hide his words in our heart, yes, that we might not sin against God. Well, according to the first paragraph here, it spoke of something else. The words pass into hymns. And I want to mention those of us that would remember this. Brother Lewis Williams was a song leader at Monarch in our day from Wichita. And he had two sayings. He said, there's a message in every song. And he said, the singers will be there. Remember him saying that? So I'm inspired to speak about anointed songs. And I'm going to say, even though the word says to hide his word in our heart, it is not taking away from it to say, hide the songs in our heart and in our mind. Songs will come at a unexpected moment. Sometimes we hear about songs in the night. Maybe the Lord awakens us with a song. Did you know that the word of the Lord has passed over into these songs, the writers? These songs are not just good, how shall I say it, poems written together to rhyme. Amen. It is for words that have great meaning and fit together because of the word of God. And these songs that we have in our songbook are anointed songs and have been for generations. It is not just something that suddenly popped up for this generation. No, the generations before us, they sensed, felt, read, understood that they were written under the unction of the Holy Spirit for purpose. Not only in our private life, these songs can come to us and minister to us in our private life. But when we come to service, and let me just add this, when a song is inspired by the Holy Spirit in the service, the Holy Spirit has laid it on your heart for this song, it has a special anointing. If you recall the meetings at Monarch, even Guthrie, camp meetings, where the saints are all together and their voices are blending together in sweet harmony, and the Spirit of the Lord is reigning, and there will be songs that will be so rich, it will do something to somebody. And I've said this before, and those that are older would remember it, no doubt. But when we were young, this happened. The church service would be down at the close. Maybe somebody would come in that didn't even attend the service, and a song would be called and would be so anointed, it created an altar call service. Yes. The Holy Spirit can take songs and do that if he so wishes, to touch hearts that maybe didn't hear the message at all. So I'm thankful for the Holy Spirit, aren't you? Because yes. The Holy Spirit is what directs our services. Now, I'm going to refer back to part of the first paragraph here, because it speaks about this. We may not think it, but it does. It speaks about the songs of our hymn book. You never get to the end of the words of our Lord. They pass into proverbs, laws, doctrine, consolations, into hymns, poems, but they never pass away. And after all the use that is made of them, they are still fresh and inexhaustible as ever. How old do you think some of these hymns are in our book? Well, I don't know how old a lot of them are, but I would say they're over 100 years old. They were written by those that were of the birth of the Reformation, or the Reformation we call it, and they were inspired. There was a fresh inspiration of that time, and we're not going to go into that kind of a message that they had, but it inspired a lot of the songs in our book. And they're just as fresh. Yes, and they're just as inexhaustible as ever. If this generation passes away and there comes a time that there are other generations sitting in these pews, I trust that the Holy Spirit will still be here.
Yes.
To inspire and anoint the songs that have been passed down to us. Thank the Lord. So they're still fresh. I'm going to play you a song. This is Darren Gillenbeck, and he's singing all four parts. And he sent it to me, and I have played it over and over this week, oftentimes playing it just before I go to bed. It's not his voice I want you to hear. I want you to hear these words. And I want you to keep in your mind what Brother Lewis said years ago. There's a message. So I want you to listen to...
What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Who doth have our burdens shed?
Matches up with what a friend. I thought of that. God is being loving. That message comes across. But did you see places where I raised my hand? What's happening when we raise our hand in testimony? It's speaking to us. It's a message that has said something by the Holy Spirit. There is a portion in the chorus, and we heard it 1, 2, 3, 4 times. It says, he who is our great Redeemer cares about his children's plight. Have any of you ever been had a plight? Anybody know the definition of plight? The writer of this song chose a good word. And I'm thinking, well, I'll tell who the writer is. It was Sister Pat Rhodes of Tulsa. She wrote this song. But down through the years, we mainly heard Brother and Sister Phillips sing this song. That's who I remembered it. So, the words that are chosen must always be chosen to speak a message to us. I looked up the word plight, and so I'm going to give you some of the definitions. I counted a perfect word for the meaning of the song. It's a difficult, unfortunate, sometimes dangerous situation. A situation hard to get out of. You ever been in a situation that was hard to get out of? A predicament. An unpleasant and especially sad condition. Lots of things could be placed in that definition category. But let me tell you what stands out. He cares. He cares about what happens in your life. The things that come into your life. The things that affect your life. He cares. He is our great Redeemer. And He cares about what happens to us in our life, no matter what it is. Oftentimes, and I say especially today, the enemy wants to come when you're going through something hard and say, you're the only one. Who, this has been said to me of late, who can I talk to? Who would understand? We feel that way. And maybe we sometimes feel that we don't even feel God. Do you ever get in a place that you can't quite feel the presence of the Lord? Yes. Are there times that you can't quite hear His voice? Yes. That's where we are. We are in the last days. Oh, you've heard, you've said that before. We still are. It hasn't happened, so it's still true. And the scripture says that the devil knows his time is short. And he is an opposer of everything that is of God. Anything that will help you have a clear mind, a reasonable mind, a rational mind, Satan is there to hinder that. Do you believe that? Have you experienced that? I have. So as we, and there's many things that could be said about the message of this song, but we're going to go on for the sake of time. And we think about in the word of the Lord, which is forever. And the word of the Lord gives us many examples that's for our benefit. Yes, that is to say to me, you're really not alone. There's been others that have gone through this also. You may not know it in this day, but look at the ones that were recorded. You've never faced a fiery furnace. You've never faced the lion's den. You've never been sold as a slave for many years to be in a dungeon, and God using it to work something in preparation for His plan. God has, does God have a plan for your life?
Yes, He does.
Do we sometimes have a tendency to forget it?
Yes.
I believe we do. I believe we need to be reminded that God is still here and He still cares about my plight. Would you call what Joseph went through as a plight? He couldn't get out of it. He had to endure it. He had to go through it until God said, it is enough. And then God set him on high. Thank the Lord. I think about Queen Esther. Was that a plight? They could have all been killed. But she trusted in the one that cared. Thank the Lord. So I'm thinking also about a widow woman. You know, the widows in the Old Testament were most of the time destitute. Did you know that that word destitute is the same as a plight? You can't get out of it. She didn't have the ability to earn the money to pay off her creditors. And so they were coming to take her sons as payment. And she went to the prophet. And the prophet said, what do you have in your house? I don't have anything but a pot of oil. And he said, you go to your neighbors and you borrow not a few vessels. Bring them into your house and shut the door. And you and your sons take that one little pot of oil. Fill them. Then go sell them. I want to tell you, God has a way of taking us through our destitute places. You know what? We are in such, I'm going to say, luxury. We have never really known poverty like my parents' generation did, like those that came before us, my grandparents. We didn't know poverty. We have not known poverty. But you're not going to escape the trials. You're not going to escape those places that you will feel like you're destitute, that you have a plight that you cannot get out of until God delivers you. I've been there. I've been there just recently. Oh, if I could do it, I'd deliver myself. If you could do it, you would deliver yourself out of whatever you're in. It takes God and prayer. Thank the Lord. There's another part, says in that song, that speaks to me, and this has spoken to me for a number of years, not necessarily from this song, but from the scriptures. He is ready, waiting to dispel the darkest night. I read somewhere this week a little article, maybe in Streams of the Desert, and it was about darkness and light, and it says, who told you there's no light? The devil will tell us, you can't get past this. You're going to fight. I want to tell you, before the Lord delivered me December the 12th from darkness, I really believed I was going to fight it to my dying breath. I'd lost my hope. But it took God. I couldn't do it. You can't save yourself. You can't deliver yourself. You need a work of God to reach down and deliver. Oh, I'm still needing it. Over in Isaiah, the 45th chapter, let me see where I am. 45th chapter of Isaiah, I have something I want to read here. I'm going to be looking at just verse 3. Oh, this is a rich scripture. I am so thankful it is in the Bible because it has ministered to me in the past. But this is what it says. I'm going to start with 2. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. You can't make your crooked places straight. You can try all you want. You can't do it without God's help. I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. Now listen. And I will give thee the treasures of darkness and hidden riches of secret places. I believe it's even referred to over in the New Testament. That there's treasures in darkness. We can't see it at the time. We can't feel it at the time. But he's still there. He's ready to dispel the darkness. That thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by thy name, am the God of Israel. You know, I feel like we just fell so short in trying to magnify the greatness of God in some of the last few messages when we were talking about the word supreme, and we were talking about this word that was had such meaning and was represented in the original by the Hebrew, Hesed, and it went beyond what really are English terms, but we can only understand the English. So we tried through our feeble way to magnify God in his supreme greatness, that he is unsurpassed, that he is unparalleled. There's no other God that can even stand beside him. It takes the Spirit of God to reveal those things to our mind and our understanding. It's the only way. He said it was through the foolishness of preaching. He chose it. And we try so hard in our, and we seek the Lord. Lord, give us the right words. And yet it seems to fall short. Oh, may God open up our minds to the greatness that we will, as this scripture says, we will know that he is God of Israel. Not the Israel that's over there. He's God of his people. That's what that represents. The holy people of God. And we could call it the church of God. See? He wants to show that to us. And he tries. He tries to show those things to us in these songs that we sing. So he's wanting to show us some of the treasures of darkness. Well, I have another song, but I won't have it sung to you. I'm going to ask Damon to lead this song. Did you send it out to the congregation, Damon? The first one I want is Nothing Can Touch Me. Can you do that? So this will help to keep us all a little awake to sing a song together, but this is the song that came to me and it had a message.
Thank the Lord.
There's a message in this song. Let's sing it together and look for the message of the writer.
In times burdens drive me to my knees, and I wonder what the reason to gain control of Jesus, hear my plea. Precious Savior, have mercy on me.
What's the message that speaks to you?
God's in control.
He what?
God's in control.
Yes.
God's in control? Oh, those words are so easy to say. Are they harder to believe?
Mm-hmm. They are.
But we must believe.
Yes.
Faith. We must believe. I turned to that a little bit so it might not pick up my singing. It may have done it anyway. We say God is in control, and what is that supposed to do for us?
It doesn't always fix it.
What?
It doesn't always fix it.
It doesn't fix it, but what is it supposed to do? What is the message?
It fixes us.
What?
It fixes us.
It fixes us.
It gives us confidence.
What else?
Peace.
What?
Peace.
Peace. I understood you heard a message on peace this morning. To know that God is in control.
Have faith anyway.
Have faith. It should comfort us. He is the God of all comfort. Do you need comfort? Have you needed comfort any time in your life? Have you needed comfort today? Did you need it yesterday or this week?
Amen.
We probably did. I did. But when we say, nothing can touch me except God allow it, that should give me courage and comfort and to know that God really is in control.
Amen.
Whether I feel it, see it, but I must believe it.
Amen.
I want to tell you, and I may have already said this in a message recently. I'm not sure. I believe that, and we could say our faith is being contested, but I think it's our belief. Faith is akin to believing, but we pass through these places that are hard to get out of. They're difficult. They're a plight in our life, and God still cares. And yet there is a voice. Do you have any voices that come to you and speak to you in your ears? I do. I've had the enemy come and talk to me a number of times. Do you ever know the difference between the voice of the enemy and the voice of God? I can tell you how to know it. The voice of God is not an accusing voice. The voice of God is always so sweet. And I've tried to repeat it to you how God has spoken to me when he would be calling for something in my life. And it would be so tender. I could not say no. Now that's the voice of the Lord. But the voice of the enemy only leaves you feeling empty and void and dry and confused. So if any of those kind of descriptions fit a voice that comes to you, identify where it's from. And do what the word says and believe what the word says. What does the word say? Resist. Says that he's going about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. And the scripture says, whom resist steadfast in the faith. It says he will flee. Do you believe it? When we say God is in control, and when we say God is love, and when we know what the scripture says about love one another as I have loved you, and all of the things that the scripture says, did you know the enemy tries to make people feel unloved? Anybody here, you don't have to raise your hand. Have you ever felt unloved? I'm not talking about God, I'm talking about people. That's the enemy. But he wants to carry it over, and he wants you to believe that God doesn't really love you either. Have you ever had that?
Yes.
And so Sarah and I was having a conversation about this, and I told her how I would battled that I to believe that God loved me. Mother, how can you? I said, I believe it because the word says it. You don't feel it, but you believe it. That's what we must do with these words. We must believe them. Don't allow the enemy to put a cloud over you, those words, and hinder you from believing whatever it is about God. Okay? Anybody have a special thought on this particular song? Nothing can touch me except it passed through his hand. He's still in control. Anybody else? Because we have one more song. Have you sent out that other song? Okay, our last song is Through It All. Oh, to me, this is an inspiring song. I've heard this on YouTube, and it, you know, whoever the singers are, the words come and minister to me. Through it all. Through it all. I've learned something. I've learned to trust in Jesus. I've learned to trust in God through it all. Through it all, I've learned to depend upon his word. That's what we started out with. The word of God is, there's no end to the word of our Lord, and it passes into many other places that we can grasp the word of God. Let's sing this song together.
I've had many tears and sorrows. I've had questions for tomorrow. There have been times I didn't know right from wrong. But in every situation, God gave blessed consolation that my trials only come to make me strong. Through it all, through it all, through it all.
That song has a message for me. And I believe it speaks to each one of us here today. You can look back on your life. You can see the places that God brought you through and out into a wealthy place. But didn't you pray for it? Wasn't it something that you recognized your inability to save yourself and you cried out to the Lord and said those words? They were the word of God. Lord, bring me out into a wealthy place. He can do it. He does it. We may have to wait on him. No, not may. We will. We must wait on the Lord. He will strengthen our heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. That scripture also says, even the young people will faint. Even the young people can get weary. And us that are older, we're going to get weary. And what do? We start praying, Lord, help me not to be weary and well-doing. For in due season, we quote the scriptures, don't we? Lord, help me to endure to the end and be saved. Do you pray that way? Do you use the word of the Lord in your prayers? That's how it works. Well, I'm ending with a little verse that the Lord gave me this week, and it spoke to me, and I really won't be able to tell you how. Maybe it's a little bit too personal. But it's Psalms, the 6th chapter, verses, part of verse 8 and 9. The Lord hath heard the voice of my weeping. Did you know if you are able to weep, you are blessed? Aren't tears a blessing?
Yes.
Really? There's a release. And I think scientifically, possibly even Paul might could explain it all to us. But scientifically and physically, there is something that happens in our physical body that releases something. Did you know there are people that cannot cry? Their tears are locked up. They do not have that release. So if you're able, and I want to say to the men, don't be ashamed to cry. Let the tears flow sometimes. Us women, we probably can do it easy. But I want to tell you what this says. The Lord hears the voice of our weeping. There is another song, and I haven't heard it in a long time, but tears are a language that God understands. Do you believe that?
Yes.
There are times that all we may do is weep. We may not be able to say any words. But there are some words you can say. When you have run out of words, do you go to the word of God that says, Lord, cause the Holy Spirit to make groanings and utterings for me that I cannot make? Maybe I'm only shedding tears. This next part says, the Lord hath heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. That's our little thought this afternoon. I believe that there's much more that could be said, but I think this is sufficient.